Be back for my going away drinks? Rosemary asked Rhea.
Yes, I think his flu will be better by then, Rhea said loudly.
Sorry, it slipped out. How is he, by the way?
Fine, he rings at night.
Rhea didn't say how often he telephoned during the day, too, asking for information.
And did he find what he's looking for? Rosemary asked.
Rhea thought for a moment.
He sounds cheerful enough. I think he's just in the process of finding it, she said.
An hour previously, Danny had rung to say that Barney's forces had soundproofed a wine cellar already, and the equipment was being installed today. Tomorrow, the manager of a legendary pop group was flying over to inspect it. Danny would be traveling with him. It was looking very good.
And it was very good.
Barney McCarthy got his price, and Danny Lynch got his commission, and Sean O'Brien got his £60,000. Then Danny told his employers what he'd done, and that he would leave as soon as they wanted him to. They invited him to stay and keep Barney's business with them, but Danny said it would be awkward. They would always be watching him. He would feel uneasy. They parted on good terms, as Danny Lynch did with everyone and everything in life. They were like excited children as they wandered about the house planning this and that. This front room could be something really special, Danny said. Now that the boxes and containers that held the secrets of poor old Sean O'Brien and his friends had been moved out, anyone could see what perfect proportions it had. The high ceiling, the tall windows, the big fireplace. It didn't matter at all that a naked bulb hung on an old knotted electric cord from the middle of the ceiling, or that some window panes had been broken in the past and replaced with cheap and irregular bits of glass. The stained and chipped mantelpiece could be renewed and made to look as it must once have when it was a gentleman's residence.
"We'll get a gorgeous soft wool Indian carpet," Danny said, "and look here beside the fireplace. Do you know what we'll have? One of those big Japanese Imari vases. Perfect for a room like this."
Rhea looked at him with stunned admiration.
"How on earth do you know all this, Danny? You sound as if you'd done a course in fine arts or something."
"I look at places, sweetheart. I'm in and out of houses like this all day. I see what people with taste and style have done. I just look, that's all."
"A lot of people look, but they don't see properly."
"We'll have such a good time doing it up." His eyes were shining.
Rhea nodded, not trusting herself to speak.
The excitement of it all was nearly too much for her. Sometimes she felt dizzy, physically dizzy, with the magnitude of what they were taking on. The pregnancy test was positive. The timing could not be worse. As she lay awake at night, either in her mother's home or in the shambles that was now Tara Road, she rehearsed how she would tell him that she was pregnant. The fear that he might not want the child was so great it stopped her opening her mouth. The days went by, and Rhea felt she was acting everywhere and to everyone, and that she had long ceased to be a real person with normal responses. When she did tell him, it was completely by accident. Danny said that the hall was much bigger than they had thought now that they had got the bicycles out of it and into the shed. Maybe they should have a painting party at the weekend, get everyone to do a bit of wall each. It wouldn't be permanent or anything, but it might give them a bit of pride in the place. "What do you think, sweetheart? I know the smell of paint will make us all sick for a day or two, but it'll be worth it."
"I'm going to have a baby," she said suddenly.
"What?"
"Yes, I mean it. Oh, Jesus, Danny, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry now in the middle of all this."
And she burst into tears. He laid down his coffee cup and came over to hold her tight.
"Rhea, Rhea, stop, stop, don't cry."
But she went on sobbing and shaking in his arms. He stroked her hair and soothed her as you would a child.
"Shush, shush, Rhea, I'm here, it's all right." "No, it's not all right. It couldn't be worse. What a time for this to happen. I don't know how it happened."
"I do, and it was all lovely," he said.
"Oh, Danny, please don't make a joke about it. It's a nightmare. I've never been so upset. I couldn't tell you, not with all this going on."
"Why is it a nightmare?" he asked.
"Oh, please, please, may he not say that an abortion was no trouble, that he had the money now. They could go to London at the weekend. Please may he not say that."
Because Rhea knew that she didn't trust